Also on the inside of the service bulletin is our text, our passage that we'll read from the scriptures, from the Bible for this afternoon. And the text, the verse that has been our focus both last time and again this afternoon is verse 8. And so that is bolded in the text. Remember, as we read this, this is the very word of God. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Well, let's ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word as we come to that. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the scriptures that you have given, for this part of your word that we could now read. And now, Lord, as you have ordained, we pray that the exposition of it, the preaching of it, the explanation and application of it would be directed by your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, that we would see Jesus in the sermon this afternoon, that we would follow him and worship him, that he would increase, and that, Lord, we would give him what he is due. And so we pray for your help. Equip me to proclaim your word faithfully so that men and women would follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we gathered here on this lawn to begin to consider this verse we find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's set and it comes to us in our own need for security amidst the changes that are going on all around us. Change is a constant in our life and in our own communities. And as we look at our own world, our own nation, some of the changes, many of the changes that take place and seem to be taking place at an increasingly fast rate concern us and make us concerned for our children and grandchildren and the next generation. And so this comes to us as it did then. We're not just taking this to fit our position today, our place today, but this question about what comes tomorrow. Where is my place of security? I need a stable foundation on which to live. And we've heard this verse, this statement about Jesus Christ as a great encouragement for those who trust in Jesus Christ, who have believed him to be the Savior God has sent him to be. It was an encouragement then because in this context, in verse 7, there's concern about those who rule over them and they're going to pass off the scene. We can be thankful for the good leaders God has given, but what happens when they disappear? What happens when they die? And we're reminded that they may pass off the scene, but Jesus Christ is the same. He is always there and he doesn't change. And that's a message that thousands of years later still comes to us. For we have the same concerns, but Jesus Christ is still the same today. And this verse, though, is not only for those who have already believed in Jesus Christ, but it's a call to all who have not yet come to believe in Jesus Christ to build your life on the rock of salvation, to build your life on him as the solid foundation, to stop building your life on the shifting sands of our own world, of our own cultures, of our own hopes that we think we can hope in ourselves. Now, this concern for change is certainly not a new concern. Thousands of years ago, a Greek philosopher made the statement that the only thing that doesn't change is change itself. The only thing we can be certain of is change, which is a bit ironic because I guess everything except that statement can change. But he made the statement. He said, no man, he illustrated it this way, no man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river and it's not the same man. Perhaps we can bring this a little closer to home. No man steps on the same lawn twice, for it's not the same man, it's not the same lawn. What has changed in the last 2 weeks since we first gathered here to hear this verse? What has changed? The news cycle has changed. It tends to shift all the time. Things have gone on in our community that are different, but how about in your own life? What has changed? If you were here 2 weeks ago, or even if you weren't, what has changed in your life? Have you walked closer to God? Have you sought Him and sought Him in His Word and come to Him in prayer and worshiped Him? Or have you wandered farther from Him, neglecting Him, putting away His Word, ignoring what He has given so you could have life and life eternal? What is right and wrong hasn't changed. What is good and evil hasn't changed. And thank God the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has not changed. There may be a different preacher in the pulpit this afternoon, but it's the same message. It's the same message of good news through Jesus Christ. Jordan, a couple weeks ago, preached on Jesus Christ as the same yesterday and today. And this afternoon, I hope to proclaim and declare Jesus Christ as the same today and forever. A comfort for those who are trusting in Christ, and a call to all who are not yet in Christ to come, believe, and be secure forever. Your only sure hope for tomorrow is to be found in Jesus Christ today. Your only sure hope for tomorrow is to be found in Jesus Christ today. And that's really how we're going to look at this statement. Hope in Jesus Christ today and hope in Jesus Christ for tomorrow. Before we can get to tomorrow, before we can think about what's going to happen forever, we need to make sure that we are in Jesus Christ today. And there is a certain hope for all who trust in Christ. Now, when the Bible talks about hope, when we think about hope in terms of God, it's not wishful thinking. You know, we might be thinking, well, I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope I get a good sleep tonight. And you're really hoping, and that's a bit of a wishful thinking. You might not get a good sleep. You might not even be expecting to have a good sleep. You're just really hoping it happens. But God doesn't speak that way. In another part of the Bible, in a letter written to a man named Titus, we have the Apostle Paul saying that we have the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. How can we have such certainty? How can we have such a real hope? It's because God Himself guarantees it. The hope that is offered in Jesus Christ is real because God has promised it. God says what He means, and He means what He says. Well, who is Jesus Christ? We need to consider who is this Jesus today that I need to know? Who is Jesus? Well, we heard this again a couple weeks ago, but it's good to always be refreshed in who Jesus is. He is truly God, but He's also truly man. He is powerful and able to save us, and yet He's also like us. So He's able to save us because He's like us in every way, except one extremely important way. He is sinless. He has no sin. He has not broken away from God like we have. He is the very one whom we need. Because remember, we're sinners. That means we've broken the law of God. We have said to God, I'm not interested in living as You have commanded me. And we've broken it. One lie, one moment of stealing, one moment of ungodly anger, is one too many. Now, we've all done these things at least once today. We've lied, or we've been angry, or we have not worshipped God as He is owed. God is our Creator. God has given us life. He's given you life, and yet in sin, You and I choose death. Sin separates us from God, which means sin separates us from the very source of life. Life isn't beyond God. God is life. He is the one who gives us life, and we choose death. And not just that we're going to die in this world, but our if we're outside of Jesus Christ, our souls are already dead. We need him to bring us back to life. We need what is called regeneration, new life by the Holy Spirit. For if we do not know the regenerating work of God in our life before we die physically, we will be justly condemned and sentenced to hell forever. Because God is holy, and he must be just. But God, according to the great love and the mercy with which he loved us, that he wanted to show to us, he provided a Savior. He provided a way whereby he could be both just and the justifier of those who have faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us his Son, and his Son, Jesus, came willingly to live the perfect life, to die a death to save us. He took our place. He was a substitute. God said, "You're guilty." Jesus said, "I'll pay the penalty for all who will believe in me." That's why the cross, where Jesus died, where he paid that price, is the central symbol of Christianity. But Jesus Christ was buried, and he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. He rose up because he had conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered all that we cannot conquer so that we can live, so that we can reign with him. Jesus Christ has risen. He's in heaven. He is reigning as king. That's why the empty cross is the central symbol of Christianity. And Jesus Christ, who has done all this for us, is the one upon whom we can stand. He is the one the Scriptures declare the same yesterday, today, and forever. His very character of holiness and justice, of love and of mercy, in his desire to have fellowship with sinners and provide our way of salvation, all of this is unchanging. That's who he is, and that's who he always will be. He is the one upon whom we can stand amidst the whirlwind of life all around us. We can stand secure on him. He, by his great work of salvation, will transform you for good, giving you new life, new desires, new abilities to serve God, and new and living hope. And he promises, as he does in verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is good news for all who believe in Jesus Christ. This is good news for you who are trusting in Christ. These promises are promises we need to remember. And if you do not know Christ, the call has come. Confess to him, simply saying, "Lord, I am guilty of trying to live life by myself without you and fighting against you. Forgive me. Give me new life as you have earned it and gained it for me." Jesus Christ turns away none who come to him in faith. Your only sure hope for tomorrow is found in Jesus Christ today. Trust him today, and you will trust him tomorrow. That's something, consider something of who Christ is. And there's more to learn about who Christ is as you open the Bible, as you read it. And if you don't have a Bible, you can take one home with you from the table over there. Or even just take home the Gospel of John, one part of the Bible, and read and find out who is Jesus. So that I might know him and trust him. Well, now we'll consider not only who Jesus, what our hope in Christ is for today, but if we're trusting in him today, what our hope is in Jesus Christ for tomorrow. In Psalm 102, another part of the Bible in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, we have the author of this particular psalm declaring this about the Lord. He said, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you." This was written in the context of someone who's writing the psalm in great distress and crying out to the Lord amidst all sorts of trouble. And he cries out and he settles himself upon the Lord. Now, The ultimate author of the scriptures is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us the scriptures, and they are perfect, and they are without error, and they are intended to accomplish all that God intends it. But God worked by his Spirit through ordinary human beings to give us the scriptures. And here is an author who is in distress, but he rests himself upon the rock of his salvation. And this, in the New Testament, as we come to the book of Hebrews, earlier on in the very same book that we have our text this afternoon, in Hebrews 1, this very section is applied to Jesus. He's the one who will remain, though everything else may pass away. And we heard as well, even in our call to worship, as God spoke to us from Revelation chapter 1, that great declaration of Christ, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter. That means I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who he is today is who he always will be. If you trust in him today, you can trust him for tomorrow and the day after that and next week and next month until you enter into eternity, and you can trust him forever and ever when time has stopped. And forever you will have Christ, who will provide for you, who will preserve you, who will keep you through everything that goes on in this life. As one writer puts it, Jesus Christ is eternally, that is forever, the same. And he is eternally contemporary. We don't need to fear opinion changes or mood swings in Jesus. He is who he is, and who he is who he will always be. Where else can you find such security? Nowhere else, in no one else. If you live in this security that Christ provides, then God, you can know God is with you. God is dwelling in you, and God is working all that you need in you. And even everything that happens in your life, even the hardest things, even those things that are intended, that some will intend for to harm you, God will promises he will turn all of that for your good. And eternity will testify to how God has used that for your good. But that's a promise that only applies to believers. You can't just take that and apply it to yourself if you won't trust in the very source of good, which is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have hope for today, we have hope for tomorrow. In Jesus Christ is the very hope of heaven. Now, perhaps you think of heaven as that place where everything in the best things you enjoy in this life will just be exponentially increased in that life. So the best fishing is going to take place in heaven. The best golfing is going to take place in heaven. You get a hole in one every shot, which would make things incredibly boring. But that's not what heaven is. That's a selfish view of heaven. That's a view of heaven that makes you the center. But heaven is heaven because it's where you get to be with God. Heaven is heaven because God is there. And if God wasn't in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. That's where you are able to dwell with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that eternal relationship of love, and where God will delight in you and demonstrate his delight in you in an unchanging way. It's the place for ultimate security, and where you will dwell with God in perfect holiness, to be like him. If you don't want to be holy, you can't imagine you would be happy with God nor find heaven to be of any interest. But have you ever thought about it? Have you ever imagined heaven? Have you ever imagined what eternity would be like? Have you ever imagined what eternity without shame and guilt would feel like? Stop and think and imagine what it would be. Revelation 21 is a favorite passage for many believers, telling us and teaching us about what it will be like. There we will be secure forever because of our relationship with Christ. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am, hear those words again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the hope for you if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. That's your eternal security. That's heaven, to be with God, that he will be your God. You will be his son, his daughter forever. But right there after this passage also comes verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's hell. That's what it is to die without Christ, to not have that security, to not have him as the Savior from your sins. Jesus Christ doesn't change. But thank God Jesus can change you so that you experience verses 1 to 7 and not verse 8. You experience and know heaven but not hell. As Jordan said a couple weeks ago, you may recall, he said, Jesus Christ is not an add-on to our life. He's not an accessory that we tack on along with everything else we put our hopes and dreams in. Nor is he a self-help guru who we keep in our pocket and we consult every now and again, but mostly we just carry on by ourselves. If that's how you treat Jesus Christ, if that's how you've treated him, then you don't know him. You must experience his transformation, salvation applied, sin removed, new life begun, security and eternity provided. He must be your identity. That's a big word in our culture today. But our identity is not in ourselves. It must be in Jesus Christ. So we can live for him and serve him. Now, in anticipation of heaven. It's verse 9 in our text in Hebrews 13. It tells us we are called not to be carried away with various and strange doctrines. And if we have Jesus Christ, we don't need more. We don't need to look for a different idea, a different doctrine, or anything else. As another person, another writer puts it, this declaration of an unchanging Christ is a summons to an unchangeable faith in him and faith in him alone. Some of you, I don't know all of you, I don't know all your backgrounds, but some of you this afternoon, some of you once were faithful to Christ. Some of you once, whether as a child or as an adult, you claim to follow Christ. You have been baptized. His name has been placed upon you. You have been set apart to be holy for him, but now you've replaced Jesus. He's now just that add-on or accessory. He is not the one for whom you live, but he's just kind of there, perhaps, or maybe not there at all. Is it Jesus who's changed? It's not Jesus who's changed, but you have. And you've rejected the good message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's high time that you come back to Jesus Christ or come to him for the first time if you've never known him truly. Jesus calls you to come to him. He has not changed. The message is the same. Come, confess your sins and be saved and serve this Savior as your Savior and as your Lord and King. He's the same. You can still come to know him, to trust him, to live for him. Your only sure hope for tomorrow is found in Jesus Christ today. Here we've again heard the good news of salvation, of security, of eternity. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever is a great comfort to all who are trusting in Jesus Christ. It's a comfort for believers, God's people standing on the rock, building their life upon him, not on the sand. You are secure. Change that will come. Change happens, but it cannot harm you, nor will it remove you from Christ. He will hold you firm. But if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, if you're not living for Jesus Christ, then you can have no hope. You can have no confidence for what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, next week, or any other time. But the call is you can have that confidence. You can have it through trusting in the God of the world, the God of the universe, the God who made us, the God who saves us in Christ. Turn from hope in the world to hope in Christ. Confess your sin and hope in Jesus Christ for every tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your word that you have given to us. We bless you and praise you that we can even just ponder just this one verse, that it's so full and rich and deep, and your truth, oh God, is great. We thank you for this great message of hope, even in the midst of the change we experience daily and the changing culture that we live in. We thank you for the true refuge that we've heard of, the refuge we need, Jesus Christ himself. Lord, each one of us needs to know this Savior, and we pray that all would know him today, that all who are here who have heard this message would trust him, that we would go no further by trusting by ourselves, that we would trust in you and walk in you. Lord, we pray for our community all around us. We thank you for placing us as a church in this particular community. And we pray that, Lord, we would serve this community well and bring them the greatest news the world has ever known. We pray for every soul that lives around us. There are many unsettled and confused hearts in our community, for they have not yet found Jesus Christ. Or having found him, they are not able to rest in him completely, but are still trying to carry too much and care and figure out life by themselves without him, not understanding really who he is. Oh Lord, come to them in your power, we pray. May we as Christians be loving our neighbors. Make us a faithful church for this community. We pray, Lord, for all the local churches that are represented here. We thank you that we can be together to worship together. And we pray that we all would be faithful as Noah before the great flood, calling men to Christ, to repentance and faith in you, knowing the eternal value of each soul and the need for each to be reconciled to you. May this message we've heard this afternoon be repeated many times over to our neighbors. Help us to speak as a voice of truth into the chaos and the confusion of our age, in which every man does what is right in his own eyes. And even though many know it is wrong and are unsettled by it, yet so many are afraid to speak up or don't have a message of truth or hope to offer in place of it. Lord, we have that message, the greatest, the most loving message we could ever bring. Open our mouths that we would speak and represent our Savior well. We pray for our leaders in society, in church, in civil government, in families, and in our workplaces. Make each faithful in the place you've put them, serving well, being faithful to Christ. For it is from King Jesus that all leaders get their authority, and to him they are accountable. Lord, whoever is over us in lawful authority, we pray, increase our prayers for them and our willing obedience. Fill our homes and churches and whole land with peace and joy and hope and love through a turning back to the Lord. For that is the only place to find this hope. Lord, good leaders may come and go, but Jesus Christ remains forever. O Lord, so fill your faithful churches with many worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth, and raise up many such faithful churches to that end, that we would give you the worship you are due as the men and women whom you've created. Lord, bless us now as we conclude this worship service by singing your praise, receiving your blessing, and as we go home, may this word settle on our hearts. And may we desire to come and worship you again and again, looking forward from this Sunday to the next Sunday. To you be the praise and the glory for all things this afternoon and, Lord, each time as you work in our community and in our homes and working through us. To you be the praise and the glory. We pray in Jesus Christ alone. Amen.